Jaya Rana Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Rana Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Jaya Giri Vadanare Jaya Giri Vadanare Gopi Jana Balabha Jaya Giri Vadanare Jaya Giri Vadanare Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Daya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tira Manachari Daya Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Vichana Palabha Giri Varodare Giri Varodare Vichana Palabha Jaya Giri Varodare Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Panachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tira Banachari Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Vanda Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Vanda Madhava Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Teda Satishi Shivad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Dantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shilohila Stakur Gijai Prense Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Parabhu Nichananda Shidweda Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopatnath Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturam Gijai Jagannathaswami Gijai Yamunamaya Kajai, Srimati Lalasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nibhashesha Shinyapati Pashat Dejatarni. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, now we're going to continue with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just one thing I wanted to tell you, that I have to end before 6 o'clock because I have another meeting at 6 o'clock about our restaurant here. So, my life is extremely busy. I can't believe it. And then I have another meeting at about 6 or 6:30 in the morning tomorrow morning. And then I have another meeting on Sunday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I think I spend more time on the computer than I do with any other activity, including eating, chanting, or other activities. And I don't get 2 weeks off with pay. Anyway, this is called cruel and unusual punishment. And somehow or other, I get behind on my messages, my emails, because it's just like I've never spent so much time on a computer talking to people since I was born. Anyway, so here we are again on a computer talking to you all. We're going to have some sort of virtual world in the future for this particular class where you're all going to like come into like Hawaii or something like that, virtual Hawaii. Anyway, let's see what Krishna wants. I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement to be free of anxiety, but it didn't work. All right, so on that happy note, let's Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Okay, let's go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita to have some nectar. Nectar? Here we go. Beginning with text 109 in Adi Lila, chapter 7. And we're talking about, again, about the Panchatattva. And actually, this is the story within that chapter about the Panchatattva, about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preaching to the Mayavadis in Benares. So, don't you try this. You will become contaminated if you try to preach to the Mayavadis in Benares or the Mayavadis in Raleigh. So, okay, let me see what we can do so we can see the participant window, right? Okay, just 1 second. We give you all a chance to ask questions. And there we go. Participants. And I will start. Gonavritche Babasya Karila Acharya Dahara Shavane Nasha Haya Sarvakarya. Sripad Shankaracharya has described all the Vedic literatures in terms of indirect meanings. One who hears such explanations is ruined. So when the Vedic literatures say something, or it's written down, I guess we could say they say something, we should take the direct meaning, unless the direct meaning doesn't make sense. In the example given, for when the direct meaning doesn't make sense, is if you say to someone, go to see so-and-so's house, which is on the river. So obviously, in most cases, unless it's a houseboat, the house is not on the river. So therefore you take it as the house is on the bank of the river. Okay. Obviously. Obviously. You know, just like if I were to say to someone, okay, here's an example. If I were to say to someone who eats too much, you eat like a pig. I mean, it's not to be taken literally. It just means they eat too much. It's a figurative expression. Anyway, it's not that they're getting down on their hands and knees and eating stool and everything like that. So in those cases, yes, you can take the indirect metaphorical meaning, analogical meaning, but in every other case, you've got to accept the Vedic literatures as it is stated. Tanhara nahi ka dosha ishvara gyapana. Angornyartha karila mukya artha achadhiya. Shankaracharya is not at fault, for it is under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has covered the real purport of the Vedas. So, purport. The Vedic literature is to be considered a source of real knowledge, but if one does not take it as it is, one will be misled. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is an important Vedic literature that has been taught for many years, but because it was commented upon by unscrupulous rascals, people derived no benefit from it. No one came to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness. Since the purport of the Bhagavad Gita is now being presented as it is, however, within 4 or 5 short years, thousands of people all over the world have become Krishna conscious. That is the difference between direct and indirect explanations of the Vedic literatures. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mukhya vritye se artha parama mahatva. To teach the Vedic literature according to its direct meaning, without false commentary, is glorious. Unfortunately, Sri Shankaracharya, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, compromised between atheism and theism in order to cheat the atheist and bring them to theism. And to do so, he gave up the direct method of Vedic knowledge and tried to present a meaning which is indirect. It is with this purpose that he wrote his Sarirakya Bhashya, commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. One should not, therefore, attribute very much importance to the Sarirakya Bhashya. In order to understand Vedanta philosophy, one must study Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janma Jasya Yato and Vyad Itaratash Charteshva Vigya Swarat. I offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, who is the supreme all-pervading personality of Godhead. I meditate upon him, the transcendent reality, who is the primeval cause of all causes, from whom all manifested universes arise, in whom they dwell, and by whom they are destroyed. I meditate upon that eternally effulgent Lord, who is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and yet is fully independent. Srimad Bhagavatam is the real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Unfortunately, if one is attracted to Sri Shankaracharya's commentaries on the Sarirakya Bhashya, his spiritual life is doomed. One may argue that since Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, how is it that he cheated people in this way? The answer is that he did so on the order of his master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Padma Purana in the words of Lord Shiva himself. Mayavadam satshastram prachanam bhodam uchate mayayava kalpitam devi kalom ramana rupina brahmanas chaparam rupam nirgunam bakshate maya sarvam swam jagato pyasya mohannartam kalo yuge vedante tu mahashastre mayavadam avai Avaidikam mayaiva vakshate devi jagatam na shakaranat. The Mayavadi philosophy, Lord Shiva informed his wife Parvati, is impious. Asat shastra means temporary, impious, whatever. It is covered Buddhism. In other words, it's basically Buddhism portrayed a little bit differently, so the people would accept the Vedic literatures. My dear Parvati, in Kali Yuga I assume the form of a Brahmin and teach this imagined Mayavad philosophy in order to cheat the atheists. I describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be without form and without quality. Similarly, in explaining Vedanta, I describe the same Mayavad philosophy in order to mislead the entire population toward atheism by denying the personal form of the Lord. In the Shiva Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead told Lord Shiva, Dvaparado yuge bhutva kaliya manushada shu dishu swargamai kapitais twam cha jananad vimukhan guru. In Kali Yuga, mislead the people in general by propounding imaginary meanings for the Vedas to bewilder them. These are the descriptions of the Puranas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that mukya vritti, direct meaning, is abhidha vritti, or the meaning that one can understand immediately from the statements of the dictionaries. Whereas gona vritti, the indirect meaning, is a meaning that one imagines without consulting the dictionary. For example, one politician has said that Kurukshetra refers to the body, but in the dictionary there is no such definition. Therefore, this imaginary meaning is gona vritti, whereas the direct meaning found in the dictionary is mukya vritti or abhidha vritti. This is the distinction between the two. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one understand the Vedic literature in terms of abhidha vritti and the gona vritti. He rejects. Gona vritti rejects. That's indirect. Sometimes, however, as a matter of necessity, the Vedic literature is described in terms of the lakshana vritti or gona vritti, but one should not accept such explanations as permanent truths. The purpose of the discussions of the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra is to philosophically establish the personal feature of the absolute truth. The impersonalists, however, in order to establish their philosophy, accept these discussions in terms of lakshana vritti or indirect meanings. Thus, instead of being tatva-vada, or in search of the absolute truth, they become maya-vada, or illusion by the material energy. When Sri Vishnu Swami, one of the four acharyas of the Vaishnava cult, presented his thesis on the subject matter of shuddha-dvaita-vada, immediately the mayavadis took advantage of this philosophy and tried to establish their dvaita-vada, or kevala-dvaita-vada, I mean oneness. To defeat this kevala-dvaita-vada, Sri Ramanujacharya presented his philosophy as Vishishtadvaita Vada. And Sri Madhvacharya presented his philosophy of Tattva Vada, both of which are stumbling blocks to the Mayavadis because they defeat their philosophy in scrupulous detail. Students of Vedic philosophy know very well how strongly Sri Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaita Vada and Madhvacharya's Tattva Vada contest the impersonal Mayavad philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, accepted the direct meaning of the Vedanta philosophy and thus defeated the Mayavad philosophy immediately. He opined in this connection that anyone who follows the principles of Sharirakya Bhasha is doomed. This is confirmed in the Padma Purana, where Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Shrinu Devi Prabhakshami Tamasani Yathakramam yesham shravana matrena patityam janinam api apartam shuti vakyanam dashaya lokagarhitam karma sarupa tyajyatvam atracha pratipadyate sarvakarma paritpram shan naiskarmyam tatra chochate paratma jivayor aikyam Ayatra pratipadyate, my dear wife, hear my explanations of how I have spread ignorance through Mayavadi philosophy. Simply by hearing it, even an advanced scholar will fall down. In this philosophy, which is generally very inauspicious for people in general, I have misrepresented the real meaning of the Vedas and recommended that one give up all activities in order to achieve freedom from karma. In this Mayavada philosophy, I have described the Jivatma and Paramatma to be one and the same. That means God and the individual soul. How the Mayavada philosophy was condemned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Ancha Lila, second chapter, verse 94 through 99. where Swarup Damodar Goswami says that anyone who is eager to understand the Mayavada philosophy must be considered insane. This especially applies to a Vaishnava who reads the Sarirakya Vasha and considers himself to be one with God. The Mayavadi philosophers have presented their arguments in such attractive, flowery language that hearing Mayavada philosophy may sometimes change the mind of even a Mahabhagwat or a very advanced devotee. An actual Vaishnava cannot tolerate any philosophy that claims God and the living being to be one and the same. So why did Shankaracharya get this mission of presenting this bogus philosophy, this indirect interpretation of the Vedic literatures? Let's look at the history. Once upon a time, okay, before Buddhism, the Brahmanas, the so-called caste Brahmanas, were misusing their position for a variety of reasons. One thing they were doing was exploiting people financially because they thought they had a monopoly. They were really bad. That's one thing. Another thing they were doing is they were killing animals indiscriminately on the basis of their so-called quotes from the Vedic literatures, which were actually taken out of context. So in order to stop that, we needed an incarnation of God to take people away from the Vedic literatures, to teach something completely opposed to the Vedic literatures. That incarnation of God that did that was named Buddha, known as Lord Buddha, Gautama Buddha. And Buddha taught basically a philosophy of nonviolence, ahimsa, paramo dharma, and other things, but he really took people away from the Vedic literatures. And Buddhism became very widespread in India under the guidance of the Emperor Ashoka, who had a change of heart because previously he was torturing people and killing, let's say, hundreds of thousands, not millions of people. He had a change of heart, and he decided to make India Buddhist. Okay, so, Jai Buddha. So everybody in India, not everybody, but a lot of Buddhists. This is before Muslims. This is before Christians. This is way before the year zero in the Christian era. Way before it. This is Buddhism. Okay, so you had Buddhism there, and people just didn't get into the Vedic literatures anymore. So it was necessary to bring them back to the Vedic literatures, but they weren't ready for the whole import, purport, and philosophical understanding of the Vedic literatures. So Shankaracharya, who is Lord Shiva, an incarnation of Lord Shiva, was told by the Supreme Lord to teach Buddhism using the Vedic literatures, or something similar to Buddhism. Not exactly the same thing, but something similar. Okay. And so he did that, and he preached so vehemently, enthusiastically, forcefully, that he drove the Buddhists out of India. And previously they were everywhere. And now you'll find a few Buddhists, especially in Bihar and around Gaya. You'll find a few Buddhists. But not a lot. If you really want to see a lot of Buddhists, then you go to the countries around India. What do I mean? Nepal, Thailand, Burma, not Pakistan, of course, but the countries around, and even China and parts of China, there's Buddhists. That's where the Dalai Lama comes from. And if you don't know who the Dalai Lama is, look it up. The famous Buddhist. So there's Buddhism spread to such a place in Malaysia and other places like that. But India, practically no Buddhists, although India was the birthplace, in one sense, of Buddhism. Okay. So, therefore, Shankaracharya drove the Buddhists out, established the Vedic literatures again, according to the indirect meaning of the Vedic literatures. And the next step was that these acharyas, like Ramanujacharya, Vishnu, Swami, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, they came And they brought the real meaning of the Vedic literatures to people. And they defeated these followers of Shankaracharya. Philosophically, basically, defeated them. Of course, today there's still many followers of Shankaracharya. And unfortunately, many of those followers have influenced the way that scholars in the West think of Hinduism. Because some of the followers, who are really not that well-educated, like Vivekananda and Ramakrishna, they took a little bit of Shankaracharya's philosophy from the Shatavidrakya Bhasha, even though they really didn't know it that well, but they really took some of it and spread it all over. Just like one will spread a disease, a virus, like even came to America. Vivekananda came to America. And they presented so many bogus things. There was one so-called saint in India named Ramakrishna. Blah, blah, blah. And he called his girlfriend, who happened to come from France, the Divine Mother. So anyway, there's so many crazy things occurred. And other Mayavadis and impersonalists came, just like in the 1960s, you had this one Mayavadi impersonalist, won't mention his name, who was very popular. He was selling mantras to people for $35 a mantra, $35 a pop, and then the mantras became more expensive, $100 or more, and then he was teaching levitation classes and giving secret mantras to everybody, and it turned out that many of the secret mantras that he gave to everybody were the same mantra. Your own personal mantra, which 5 million other people have. So, I mean, there's been a lot of cheating, but underlying the cheating, there's this Mayavadi philosophy. But fortunately, Shankaracharya brought people back to the Vedic literatures, or else we would have India now filled with Buddhism, which is the type of Buddhism that was there, was Boydism, which is practically speaking worse than the Mayavada philosophy. Boydism, everything's ultimately void. Or there's other types of Buddhism that are very similar to Vaisheshika philosophy. It's atomism, which is, and therefore you find many scientists in the modern world accepting Buddhism because there's certain branches of Buddhism that talk about how everything is just a combination of atoms, which is materialism. Materialism. Buddha himself never decried the existence of God. Buddha himself simply taught a psychological, practical means of becoming detached from things in this world, or at least coming to the mode of goodness by being peaceful, by following the principles of ahimsa, nonviolence. Anyway, and following what he called the middle path. Okay, so let's continue. Rama shabde mukhyarte kahab kahi bhagavan chiraishvarya paripurna anurva samana. According to direct understanding, the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has all spiritual opulences. No one can be equal to or greater than him. This statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 11, Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam parameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabte. Learned transcendentalists know the absolute truth as this non-dual substance, Brahman. That's like the so-called impersonal Brahman, which has all the jiva souls floating around it. Paramatma, the Lord in the heart, or Bhagavan, Krishna. This, the absolute truth is ultimately understood as Bhagavan. That means the person who is full of all opulences. Partially understood as Paramatma, and vaguely understood, well, God is energy, as the impersonal Brahman. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is opulent in all excellence. No one can be equal to or greater than him. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Matak parataram nanyat kinjit ashti dhananjaya, O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, There's no truth superior to me. There are many other verses which prove that the absolute truth is, in the ultimate sense, is understood to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Alrighty. Tanhara vibhuti deha sabachid akara chid vibhuti achari tanre kahe nirakara. Everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual, including his body, opulence, and paraphernalia. Mayavada philosophy, however, covering his spiritual opulence, advocates the theory of impersonalism. In other words, the Lord's body, opulence, paraphernalia, activities, all that is illusion. Nothing is real. At least no variety is real. Strawberry fields forever. The only thing that's real is just the energy, the Brahman. So the fault of Shankaracharya's philosophy is that it doesn't describe how the Brahman became covered with illusion. Because if Brahman became covered with illusion, that means illusion is stronger than Brahman, so therefore we should worship illusion as God. Namo illusionaya. It's stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Ishra Parama Krishnaha Satchananda Vigraha. That's from the first verse in the fifth chapter of the Brahma Sanghita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has a spiritual body which is full of knowledge, eternity, and bliss. And our material body is full of what? Ignorance. It's temporary. You get old. And it's full of pain. In this material world, everyone's body is just the opposite, which is what Prabhupada said. Sorry, I sort of preempted. Temporary, full of ignorance, and full of misery. Interesting. In Spanish, you have the word misericordia, which means mercy. Even in English, of course, you have misery and mercy, which are very similar. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of God is sometimes described as nirakara, that means no qualities. This is to indicate he does not have a material body like us. Mayavadi philosophers do not know how it is that the Supreme Personality of God is formless. The Supreme Lord does not have a form like ours, but has a spiritual form. Obviously, we wouldn't want God to have a form that's made of stool, mucus, and urine. You know, that's what we have. It's full of it. We are full of it. Not knowing this, Mayavada philosophers simply advocate the one-sided view that the Supreme Godhead, or Brahman, is formless. Nirakara. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers many quotes from Vedic literatures. If one accepts the real or direct meaning of these Vedic statements, one can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a spiritual body. Again, Brahma Samhita 5.1, Satchananda Vigraha. In the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 5.1.1, it is said, Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. That's very similar to the Isha Upanishad. This indicates that the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual. For even though he expands in many ways, he remains the same. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, this is the verse in a nutshell, verses, Aham sarvasya prabhu matak sarvam prabhati prabhartate divabha pashantimam. So, I am the origin of everything. Everything comes from me, emanates from me. Mayavadi philosophers materialistically think that of the supreme truth expands himself in everything. He must lose his original form. Thus, they think that there cannot be any form other than the expansive, gigantic body of the Lord. But the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad confirms, Purnam Idam Purnat Purnamudashyate, that the Supreme Lord is perfect and complete, and all the things that emanate from him, even though they're perfect and complete, he remains perfect and complete. One minus one is one. Virtually. Although he expands in many ways, he keeps his original personality. His original spiritual body remains as it is. Similarly, elsewhere it is stated, Vichitra Shakti Purusha Purana, the Supreme Personality Godhead, the original person Purusha, has multifarious energies, and the Shvetashvatara Upanishad declares, Savriksha Kala Kriti Bhi Paranyo Yasmat Prapancha Parivartate Yam Dharma Vakam Papandudam Bhagesham. Bhagesham, that's right. He is the origin of the material creation, and it is due to him only that everything changes. He is the protector of religion and annihilator of all sinful activities. He is the master of all opulences. Okay? That's from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.6. Vedaham etam purusham ahantam adityavarnam tamasa parastat. Now I understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the greatest of the great. He's effulgent like the sun and beyond this material world. This is also from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. Patim patinam paramana paramam parastat. He is the master of all masters, the superior of all superiors. We're talking about this word pati in class this morning. Pati means master. That's why in the Vedic system, the wife would call the husband Pati Dave. Pati, pati, pati. And the husband would call the wife Pariya or Devi. And now the husband calls the wife Prabhi, which means master. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.7. Mahan, Prabhur, Vai, Purusha. He is the supreme master and supreme person. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.12. Purusha Shakti Ravidai Vashuyate. We can understand his opulences in different ways or his energies. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sorry. 13.65 purport. Similarly, in the Rig Veda, it is stated, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sarapa Shanti Surya. Vishnu is the supreme, and those who are actually learned think only of his lotus feet. That's in the Rig Veda, the original Veda. In the Prashna Upanishad, that means question Upanishad, 6.3, it is said, Sa Iksham Chakre. He glanced over the material creation in the Aitareya Upanishad 1.1.1-2. It is said, Sa Aikshita, he glanced over the material creation, and Sa Ima Lokan, Ashrijita, he created the entire material world. Thus, many verses can be quoted from the Upanishads and Vedas, which prove that the Supreme God is not impersonal. In the Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, it is also said, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam Eko Bahunam Yoga Dadati Kama. He is the supreme, eternally conscious person who maintains all the living entities. From all these Vedic references, one can understand that the absolute truth is a person, and that no one can equal to or excel him. Although there are many foolish Mayavadi philosophers who think that they are greater than Krishna, Krishna is Asa Mordva. No one is equal to or above him. Long purport. As stated in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.19, Apani Pado Javano Krahita. This verse describes the absolute truth as having no legs or hands. Although this is an impersonal description, it does not mean that the absolute personality of God has no form. He has a spiritual form that is distinct from the forms of matter. In this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies this distinction. Long purport. Chidananda tenho tanrastana parivara tanrikahe prakrita satvira vikara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of spiritual potencies. Therefore, his body, name, fame, and entourage are all spiritual. The Mayavadi philosopher, due to ignorance, says that these are all merely transformations of the material mode of goodness. They just, whew. In other words, it's Maya, but it's in the modes of nature, which is nonsense and offensive. Okay, purport. In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is classified as energies in two distinct divisions, namely Prakriti and Aprakriti, or Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. It means transcendental and not transcendental. Material world is Apara Prakriti. Prakriti is actually means energy, or basically, yeah, means energy. In the Vishnu Purana, the same distinction is made. The Mayavada philosophers cannot understand these two Prakritis or natures, material and spiritual, but one who is actually intelligent can understand. They can understand the difference. Considering the many varieties and activities of material nature, why should the Mayavada philosophers deny the spiritual varieties of the spiritual world? The Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 32, says, Yenye ravanjaksha vimuktumaninas tvayastapavad avashutabuddhiyaha. The intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but have no information of the spiritual world is not yet clear. That means not pure. Avashuddha buddhiya means impure. In this verse, the term avashuddha buddhiya refers to unclean intelligence, which is what I just said. Impure. Due to unclean intelligence or a poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand the distinction between material and spiritual varieties. Therefore, they cannot even think of spiritual varieties because they take it for granted that all variety is material. We find many people talking like that. That all variety that we see is mundane or material. Therefore, even the variety in the absolute is mundane, but they don't understand. They're projecting their materialistic understanding to the realm of the absolute personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore explains in this verse that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Absolute Truth, has a spiritual body that is distinct from material bodies, and thus his name, abode, antaraj, and qualities are all spiritual. The material mode of goodness has nothing to do with spiritual varieties. Mayavadi philosophers, however, cannot clearly understand spiritual varieties. Therefore, they imagine a negation of the material world to be the spiritual world. In other words, the spiritual world must be the opposite of this world. If there are arms in this world, there's no arms there. There's personality in this world, there's no personality there. There are eyes in this world, no eyes there. There's consciousness in this world, there's no consciousness there. That's stupid. It's like saying in the reflection, the mirror reflection of my image, that there's no qualities. Or because in the material reflection, all right, let's go back to the example. In the material reflection of, or the mirror reflection of my body, it's basically an illusion. So the opposite of that, in the opposite of the mirror reflection, should be that the real me has no arms and no eyes and no legs, but that's stupid. The material world is actually a reflection of the spiritual world, so everything that's in the material world must also be in the spiritual world in its original form, not without form. The material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance cannot act in the spiritual world, which is therefore called nirguna, or it's clearly indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishya Veda, Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjana. The material world is a manifestation of the three modes of material nature, but one has to become free from these modes to come to the spiritual world where their influence is completely absent. Now Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will disassociate Lord Shiva from Mayavada philosophy in the following verse. So we are going to end the reading now, since I have to and no later than 6 o'clock for our next meeting, but we're going to take some questions when we end the screen sharing. Because we have 15 more minutes, and I stopped 5 minutes before to allow you to have your sufficient time for asking questions. Now, who wants to ask a question other than Pran Govinda? Please don't make me ask. Let him ask a question. So, please, someone ask a question. Dream up a question. Someone, please. I beg of you. All right. Nobody's come up with a question, so. Oh, good, great. Thank you very much.
This is Das. One small question, Gurudev. When human beings die, who are not devotees of Lord Narayan, Yamdutas come to collect the souls. So, when the Yamdutas come, and they are not devotees, and they don't know anything about Yamdutas and anything, and they will come and say, surprise, you come to take you to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. So, sometimes it doesn't make sense, because they don't know anything about Yamdutas, and the Yamdutas come to them and take their souls. No.
That's okay. Why do they have to know something about the Yamdutas? They've seen them before. Everybody, almost everybody that's in the material world has seen the Yamadutas before, you know, many, many births. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them or many appearances, and you cannot. So we've seen them. We've seen them, and we know what they're coming to do. So what, even if we didn't recognize them, what's the difference?
The thing is, Gurudev,
like if a dacoit comes to attack you, why do you have to recognize him?
Makes sense.
Yeah, what's the need to recognize him? I mean, he's kind of, the Yamadutas are coming to drag you out of the body with the ropes of Varuna. It's not, you have, they don't have to introduce themselves and say, hi, I'm Prabhu Yamaduta. Mm-hmm. I'm Devi Yamaduta Devi Dasi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the female Yamadutas are called Yamadutinis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. I just made that up. So what does it need to recognize? But you're getting punished for what you did to rectify yourself. Just like if you're taken to jail, you may not recognize the prisoner, the policeman who's taking you to jail.
Yeah, but sometimes we are sinning, but we do not know that we are sinning. And then we get punished.
If you don't know that you're sinning, and you're a human being, mm-hmm. you still can get punished because it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, if I come up and kill you and I say, well, I didn't know killing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense. And you should know. You're responsible to know. Just like if you're driving a car and you're going too fast and you say, I didn't know I was going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible. Just like in Fiji, where you are, they have speed cameras. Now.
Yes.
So you're responsible. Yes. You could say, well, I didn't know there was a speed camera there.
Yeah.
You still get a ticket.
Okay.
So you're responsible. Yeah. It's our responsibility as human beings. Of course, if you have more knowledge, you're more responsible. It's described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there's specific punishments just for brahmanas because they have more knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more responsible you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second question, Gurudev. Regarding there are different religion. We have Christians, we have Buddhists, we have Hare Krishnas, we have Hindus, Jains. They have the certain scriptures which they read and they try to follow those scriptures. So in everyone's case, like as a Christian, do you think Yamdutas will also come there to collect their soul, or something else will come and collect their soul?
No, they get Yamadutas too. They get Muslim Yamadutas and Christian Yamadutas. No, I'm just making that up. I have to be careful. They get Yamadutas. If they disobey the order of God, like Prabhupada, what was the first thing Prabhupada would usually say to Christians? Jesus says, or the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? People know. People know in their hearts of hearts when they're eating meat, unless they're just kids or stupid or something, they know where the meat comes from. In the Bible, it says, he who kills an ox is the same as he who kills a man. And there's that quote. Thou shalt not kill. In the Quran, there's quotes too about killing. But people don't follow their scriptures. Even if they happen to be malicious scriptures, people don't follow. In any case, if one really wants to know what is to be done, what is not to be done, Krishna will send guru. You know, if you don't want to know, then Krishna may not send guru. But if you do want to know, then Krishna will send someone. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. By the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. Nothing happens by accident. So people are doing something, you can't, excuse. I mean, unless one is a child. I mean, there are certain things that one is excused for, like if one is 8 years old and, you know, doesn't have the ability to discriminate, or if one is brain dead or whatever. There are certain situations in which one is excused from his activities. But it's, you know, it's obvious if you're killing a cow, if you're killing even a pig or any animal, it's obvious the cruelty that is there. And you're responsible. You're more responsible the more knowledge you have, though. Like if you've taken second initiation. So let's say, Sumukha, in your situation, I know you wouldn't do this, but let's say if one day you decide to drink liquor. You know what liquor is? No.
Yeah.
You're innocent your whole life. Your whole life you've been very innocent. You're a pure soul who was born. If you decide to drink liquor and you have second initiation, guess what? The Yamadutas take that liquor, they turn it to hot, molten metal, and they pour it down your throat. Yuck. Doesn't taste so good at that point. It's really fire water.
Gurudev, but somras is allowed in the Vedas.
Somras is not liquor. That's the demigods. You're not allowed to take somras. That's the demigods. Demigods. Like you do so many things. The demigods, you know, they have relationships with so many apsaras. You know, whatever. That's the demigods. We are not demigods. There's different rules for different folks. And we are not allowed to take soma ras. And it's not like liquor. It doesn't put you in a stupor where you simply like sit around and vomit. When I went to the university, every Sunday morning I'd wake up and there'd be people lying in the halls of the university vomiting on each other. From drinking liquor the previous night. So that's not somaras. Somaras is something completely different. And the heavenly planets, their bodies are far more subtle. I don't think you can compare drinking liquor to somaras. So, yeah, so, but if someone knows better and they do it, there's a big punishment. Bigger than someone who doesn't know. Okay? Action and knowledge yields, or wrong action and knowledge yields a heavier result than wrong action in ignorance. So, okay, we have time for one more question. And I think at this point, we only have 3 more minutes. So I have to go to Pran Govinda. Okay, ask your question, Pran Govinda. You got 3 minutes, 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance, says all glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada.
Maharaj, 112, you read one of the verse, Nitto Nittanam Chetanas Chetananam Eka Bahunam.
Yobadadati Kamam, yeah.
I was examining all those verses that mentioned in that purport. Okay, maybe on this verse, it's very specifically says eko bahunam. There is two. How the Mayavad come up with the oneness? I cannot figure it out.
Well, I can't figure it out either. Well, because they take the indirect meaning. That's the problem.
But he said one maintains others. So there's two.
I know, but they take the indirect, they take it as metaphorical. That's why. They don't take the direct meaning. Eko bohunam yovadara. Yeah, one supplies the needs of the plural living entities. Nicho nichanam. There are many supreme, and there's many eternal entities, and there's one supreme entity, nicho nichananam, chaitanas chaitananam, living entities, plural and singular, and eko bahunam yovadarati kamam. The singular living entity is supplying the needs of the plural living entities. So it's obvious. There's a difference. So I'm not a Mayavadi. I'm not going to explain their reasoning. All I know is they take the indirect meaning of these verses to try to explain it. Mm. And that's their problem. How, what their thought processes are like, only Krishna knows. All I know...
Sense.
No, I know. The Mayavada philosophy doesn't make sense. It's illogical or illogical. Doesn't make sense. But what can you do? What can you do? I mean, there's a lot of politicians who don't make sense in America, too. There's a lot of politicians in America who follow QAnon and have all these conspiracy theories. And they don't make sense, but, you know, I can't understand the net. I can't understand the mind of a crazy person. I care for them. I'm empathic. But really, I don't understand crazy people that well. Yes, Ishwar Chaitanya has a good point. They become crazy. Mogasha moga karmano. Moga jnana vichayasthasaha. Actually, he said, is it due to envy of the Lord? You're actually right. Because they're envious of the Lord, then Krishna bewilders them. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrata. Because they're envious, then Krishna takes, you know, what is that? Matak smritir jnanam bonam cha. He gives them remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge, and makes them all stupid. It's like if you try to cheat Krishna, he'll cheat you. If you try to bewilder Krishna, then Krishna will bewilder you, so you'll look like a jackass. Isn't it?
Yes.
Mudo yam navijanati. I mean, so many verses in Bhagavad Gita. They're mudhas.
Yes.
They're asses. I mean, asses will say any damn thing. Like if you go up to a donkey, or an ass, that's what an ass is, and he goes, boo! He's not supposed to make sense. So the Mayavadis, they're just like, they don't make sense. I don't understand them. Yato mat tato pad, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all one. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, I have to end because I have this meeting now, restaurant meeting, where we're talking about opening a restaurant. Some of you on the class right now, like Madhava, have to join this restaurant meeting now, too. So thank you very much. We'll see you all tomorrow night. And pray for us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki.